Today is Thursday, July 15th, and you're listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. I am Chinedofo, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. Coming up, Taliban seizes major border crossing with Pakistan.
A video released by the Taliban shows its white flag with black Quranic verse flying in place of the Afghanistan flag above the Friendship Gate at the border crossing.
Plus, U.S. targets illegal narcotics as overdose deaths soar.
CDC just announced a record 93,000 Americans died from overdoses in 2020.
Also, scattered protests break out in Haiti as police make new arrests. Our top story today is in Afghanistan. Taliban fighters in Afghanistan have seized control of a major border crossing with Pakistan opposite the town of Chaman. Chris Dingham of Reuters reports.
Taliban fighters in Afghanistan on Wednesday took control of one of the main border crossings with Pakistan, perhaps the most strategic objective they have captured so far in a rapid advance across the country as U.S. forces pull out. A video released by the Taliban shows its white flag with black Quranic verse flying in place of the Afghanistan flag above the Friendship Gate at the border crossing in the Afghan town of Wesh. Although the video cannot be definitively dated, civilians and Pakistani officials confirmed on Wednesday that the Taliban had taken control of the crossing.
After two decades of the brutality of Americans and their puppets, this gate and the district were captured by the Taliban. The strong resistance of the Mujahideen and its people forced the enemy to leave this area. As you can see, that's the Islamic Emirate flag, the flag that thousands of Mujahideen shed their blood to raise.
Later, an unidentified Taliban militant carrying a firearm claims residents were, quote, crying with joy when they overtook the Friendship Gate.
We have been ordered not to kill the soldiers and to surrender them. Our request to the soldiers is to have mercy on themselves and surrender. Our leader's order is a general amnesty, and the soldiers will be forgiven and will not face any problems. They have seen what we have done to them. We could have killed them, but we did not.
The Taliban have in recent days seized other major border crossings in the north and west. U.S. President Joe Biden has announced he is pulling out all U.S. troops by August, and American forces left their main base in the country 2 weeks ago. U.S. officials told Reuters the United States will send charter flights later this month to start evacuating around 2,500 Afghans who worked as interpreters for the U.S. government and whose lives are now at risk.
That's Chris Dingham of Reuters. The United States this month is to begin airlifting thousands from Afghanistan who helped support American forces there during the past 20 years and now fear for their lives amid a Taliban offensive. VOA White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman has details.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki has announced the launch of Operation Allies Refuge for thousands awaiting a special immigrant visa ahead of the completion of the U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Our objective is to get individuals who are eligible relocated out of the country in advance of the removal of the withdrawal of troops at the end of August.
The operation could eventually expand to accommodate tens of thousands more people, including family members of the interpreters, translators, and other personnel who supported U.S. forces in Afghanistan since the 2001 invasion targeting the Taliban and al-Qaeda. Steve Herman, VOA News, at the White House.
In New York, an Iranian intelligence officer and three members of an Iranian intelligence network have been charged with plotting to kidnap a prominent Iranian opposition activist and writer in exile and take her back to Tehran. According to an indictment opened in Manhattan federal court Tuesday, the plot was part of a plan to lure three individuals in Canada and a fifth person in the United Kingdom to Iran. Masih Alinejad, a campaigner for women's rights in Iran and host of a VOA Persian TV program, shares how U.S. federal agents saved her from an elaborate kidnapping attempt by Iranian authorities. Jesus Manoni has more.
Masih Alinejad, a human rights activist and a host of VOA Persian Services tablet show, says she's familiar with threats, but none like this.
I know that the Islamic Republic actually had a plan to kidnap me from New York. I still cannot believe it myself, but the FBI actually told me like 8 months ago that you're not safe in your house. I was like, making joke of that and saying that, look, I receive daily death threats.
According to U.S. federal agents, the elaborate plot, allegedly by Iran intelligence agents, involved kidnapping Alina Jad and forcibly taking her to Iran. On Tuesday, the Justice Department formally charged five Iranian nationals with involvement in the alleged scheme.
They have never done anything as audacious as this one, trying to kidnap an American citizen from the United States. But they've done it from Europe and they've done it from United Arab Emirates. And the reason they would want to do it is because this is a regime that survives based on terror, based on fear. And Ms. Masih Ahmadinejad has been very vocal in her criticism of the Iranian regime and has been very effective in trying to get people to organize different forms of resistance to this regime.
Alina Jad, now a U.S. citizen after fleeing from Iran in 2009, reports on human rights abuses by the Iranian government and led a social media movement against Iranian laws, making hijabs mandatory for women.
I gave the platform to the women inside Iran who are saying no to forced hijab, who are actually saying that in 21st century, we want to enter a stadium. We want to have the right to sing. We want to have the right to dance. We have, you know, they just want to have a normal life. I'll give the platform to the people inside Iran who say no to the Islamic Republic. Is that a crime? I'm simply doing my job. Simply being a journalist is a crime in the eyes of the Islamic Republic.
Iran has dismissed the Justice Department's report on the kidnapping plot as baseless. But intelligence expert Heather Williams says the Iranian government has attempted to lure or force dissidents back to Iran.
You see some of the previous operations, they've tried to entice or convince someone to come back into Iran where they might have more tools to imprison this individual and potentially execute them. And it seemed like here some of those other tactics weren't working, and so they were getting more aggressive.
Alina Jad has called for an equally aggressive response by the Biden administration, which is also facing delicate efforts to restore the 2015 nuclear deal.
We have never assessed Iran to be a good actor in the world, not just by this plot to kidnap a person who's residing in the U.S., but their activities in the region, which we have had great concern about and the president has taken retaliatory actions for. But at the same time, we still see it in U.S. interests and in our national interest to engage in ongoing discussions so that we can have greater visibility into Iran's path to acquiring a nuclear weapon.
The United Nations has also condemned the alleged kidnap plot. Jason Semeoni, VOA News, Washington.
An Iranian foreign ministry spokesperson says accusations by U.S. authorities that Iran is plotting to kidnap Iranians abroad who criticize the country are, quote, baseless and ridiculous, unquote. The spokesperson, Saeed Khatibzadeh, was quoted Wednesday by Iran's semi-official Isna news agency. Khatibzadeh derided the plot as, quote, Hollywood-style scenarios, unquote, unworthy of a response. Overdose deaths in the U.S. soared to a record 93,000 last year, linked to the continued flow of illegal narcotics, many of them smuggled into the country from Central America. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb traveled to the region with top U.S. Admiral for Latin America, where the drug war is still raging as the region faces many other challenges.
The U.S. war on drugs turned 50 this year, but the body count keeps growing. The CDC just announced a record 93,000 Americans died from overdoses in 2020. Many illegal narcotics are smuggled by cartels based in Latin America. Overseeing U.S. military operations targeting the crime syndicates there is Admiral Craig Faller, the head of U.S. Southern Command. He sat down exclusively with VOA during a recent trip to Panama.
It's about sustained pressure on these organizations, and we are making a difference, but clearly, when you look at the tens of thousands that are dead in the U.S. and the impact here in partner nations and the impact that has on driving irregular migration, more needs to be done.
The U.S. and its allies stopped more drugs from entering the U.S. in 2020 than the year before. But the hundreds of metric tons of cocaine captured in drug bust are just a fraction of what's coming to the United States. And narcotics aren't the only way these cartels wreak havoc.
narcotics, it's human smuggling, it's illegal mining, it's money laundering, it's any illicit business that gives them power, and in many cases they control territory, and their murders, heinous. And this is the most violent region in the world, and we have to play a role working together.
The latest overdose data comes as more than a million Latin Americans have died from COVID-19. Latin America and the Caribbean account for less than 10% of the world's population, but have seen about 30% of the globe's recorded COVID-19 deaths.
They are having even a more difficult time responding to some of the challenges now than may have been true a year ago.
In his first interview since becoming Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Western Hemisphere, Daniel Erickson told VOA the U.S. has sent about 20 million vaccine doses to the region, with more on the way. As the pandemic grows, poverty and insecurity drive record numbers of migrants to the U.S.-Mexico border, especially Central Americans from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, the Northern Triangle. Border apprehensions are at a two-decade high, on pace to reach nearly 2 million this year.
It's difficult for some folks in the region to see a future in their countries, and so they're taking the opportunity to come to the United States now, and human smugglers are also taking advantage of this opportunity, this new posture and new rhetoric, set of rhetoric coming from a new administration.
Is the administration starting to rethink its policies?
Sure. I wouldn't say we're rethinking the policies. It's more about rebuilding the policies. And what the administration is working on now with respect to fostering development in the Northern Triangle is really seen as the first step in what it will be a longer-term process, but also one that can help address this migration situation so it doesn't emerge in the same way again.
The Biden administration recently announced a $4 billion aid plan to Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. But experts say past U.S. efforts have failed to reach those who need it most because of corruption and violence in the region. Carla Babb, VOA News.
Scattered protests broke out in Haiti's capital on Wednesday as gasoline shortages added to concerns over insecurity. Also, police announced new arrests a week after the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse pitched the troubled Caribbean nation into political chaos. Libby Hogan of Reuters reports.
In Haiti's capital, mourners laid flowers at a tribute to President Jovenel Moïse on Wednesday, marking 1 week since his assassination. On the same day, scattered protests broke out as fuel shortages added to concerns over insecurity. Moïse was shot dead at his home by what Haitian authorities describe as a unit of assassins, including two Haitian Americans and 26 Colombians, five of which are still on the run. A third Haitian American, Christian Emmanuel Sanon, was arrested on Sunday by Haitian authorities. They have accused him of being a mastermind of the attack. Another name that has come to light is Worldwide Capital Lending Group, who Haitian police say is responsible for fundraising the crime. The company, which is based in Florida, did not reply to a request for comment. Police also named former Haitian Senator John Joel Joseph as a key player in the plot. They say he supplied weapons and planned meetings. Authorities are searching for him. Moïse's killing has plunged poverty-stricken Haiti into chaos. The fuel shortage has paralyzed Haiti's biggest city, Port-au-Prince. Residents blamed the fuel shortage on gangs and opportunistic black market sellers. Also on Wednesday, Haiti's UN ambassador Antonio Rodriguez appealed for support.
These challenges include organizing an inclusive national dialogue, organizing democratic, free, and transparent elections, and significant support for the government's ability to meet the socioeconomic needs of the population.
Washington has sent a team of experts to investigate Moïse's murder, with a focus on any connection to the U.S.
That's Libby Hogan of Reuters. This is the Voice of America. Syrian rescue workers and the War Monitor says at least 9 civilians were killed, including 3 children, when government rockets hit 2 villages in a last rebel stronghold in northwestern Syria. This strike comes as violence has risen in recent weeks in the area that has been covered by a ceasefire since last year. More than 20 people have died and dozens of people are missing in Germany and neighboring Belgium after heavy flooding turned streams and streets into raging torrents, sweeping away cars and causing buildings to collapse. China has reported its economic growth slowed to a still strong 7.9% over a year earlier in the 3 months ending in June as the rebound from the coronavirus leveled off. Growth slowed from the previous quarter's explosive 18.3% expansion, which was magnified by comparison with early 2020 when the economy shut down to fight the coronavirus. You are listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. I am Chinedu Afo, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. In South Africa's Durban, some residents are defending their neighborhood with guns and baseball bats amid widespread looting and violence. David Doyle of Reuters has more.
In a Durban neighborhood, residents are taking matters into their own hands. Amid widespread violence in South Africa, some have armed themselves with baseball bats and guns to block access to their streets and to chase looters out of local supermarkets. Protests following the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma have been centered on his home province, KwaZulu-Natal, and have evolved into a general outpouring of anger. Shopping malls have burned, dozens of people killed, and soldiers sent onto the streets. The government has said criminals are taking advantage of anger among Zuma's supporters to steal and cause damage. But the unrest is also fueled by exasperation at difficult living conditions that have worsened during the COVID-19 pandemic. On Tuesday, the United Nations in South Africa warned that the violence will only exacerbate the hardships caused by poverty, unemployment, and inequality. Concerns are growing over the impact of the unrest on food and fuel supply. At a gas station in Durban, Joe Dlamini is queuing for petrol.
The people starting fire, the shops, everything, those. That's why the queue for petrol is like this.
The violence is also hitting the economy. The rand, one of the best performing emerging market currencies during the pandemic, hit a 3-month low on Tuesday and continued to hover there on Wednesday. Local and hard currency bonds have suffered and shares in banks and real estate firms also tanked. On Wednesday, an industry official said South Africa's largest refinery, located in Durban, had been temporarily shut down.
The International Organization for Migration said Wednesday that deaths among maritime migration routes to Europe have more than doubled in the first half of this year compared with the same period in 2020. Sabina Castelfranco reports from Rome.
The International Organization for Migration, IOM, is concerned with the increase in deaths on maritime migration routes to Europe. The organization said Wednesday that at least 1,146 people died attempting to reach Europe in the first 6 months of 2021, adding that the number has more than doubled compared to the same period last year. Most of those who died trying to reach Europe were attempting to cross the Mediterranean. The total number of attempted crossings is also on the rise. More than 31,500 people were intercepted or rescued by North African authorities in the first half of 2021, compared to just over 23,000 in the same period last year. Many of the migrants departed from Tunisia, headed for Italy. Italy is very concerned about the increasing arrivals, as Interior Minister Luciana Lamorgese explained in an interview with Italian national television.
A luglio sono arrivati, si sono moltiplicati gli arrivi da parte della Tunisia.
Lamorgese said that in July the arrivals from Tunisia have multiplied due to that country's deep economic crisis. They are economic migrants that cannot stay in Italy, and so they will be repatriated, likely from early August. She added that areas have been identified where the migrants can be tested and placed in quarantine, including a large ship. Lamorgese said repatriations will increase.
L'Italia sta sopportando davvero tanto le conseguenze.
She said Italy is taking a huge brunt of the crisis in Tunisia, and seeing as these are economic migrants, it is right that they should return home. The IOM data shows that deaths occurred because of insufficient search and rescue operations in the Mediterranean and on the Atlantic route to the Canary Islands, even though interceptions off the North African coast have increased for the second consecutive year. IOM Director General Antonio Vitorino called on countries to take urgent measures to prevent loss of life. He said increasing search and rescue efforts and ensuring access to safe and legal migration pathways are key steps towards achieving this goal. The IOM also said over 15,300 people were returned to Libya in the first 6 months of 2021, almost three times higher than the same period last year. But this is also a concern, it said, given that migrants who are returned to Libya are subjected to arbitrary detention, extortion, disappearances, and torture. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News, Rome.
Australian authorities are tracking a Chinese surveillance ship that is expected to monitor large military exercises involving the United States off the coast of Queensland. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia said Wednesday it fully expected a ship of this class to arrive in our region during military exercises with the United States. Officials have said they'd planned for its presence. The Auxiliary General Intelligence Chinese ship is expected to monitor the Talisman Sabre 2021 war games that officially began Wednesday. They're designed to strengthen a decades-old military alliance and boost combat readiness. The drills include amphibious landings, ground force manoeuvres, urban operations, air combat, and maritime operations. It's the largest bilateral training exercise between Australia and the US. In an official Defence Force video, Australian Air Commodore Stuart Bellingham said other countries were also taking part in the drills in Queensland State.
In addition to the United States, this year will involve participating forces from Canada, Japan, the Republic of Korea, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Due to COVID-19, you'll notice fewer international participants this year compared to the past.
The Chinese electronic spy vessel is expected to closely monitor the Talisman Sabre war games during the next 2 weeks. In 2019, the same type of ship was also tracked during military manoeuvres in Australia. Military analyst and former Australian Defence Department Secretary Hugh White told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that such surveillance has become commonplace.
This is the kind of thing we should expect to see happen and expect to see increasingly happen as the Asia-Pacific, the Indo-Pacific becomes increasingly a theatre of strategic rivalry as it is.
The Chinese ship is expected to remain outside Australian territorial waters as it monitors the multinational warfighting games over the next 2 weeks. It is, however, expected to be within Australia's exclusive economic zone, where it's entitled to be if it's not carrying out any economic activity. Australian officials have said they don't expect its presence to impede the war drills in Queensland. The vessel is scheduled to arrive off Australia on Friday. Relations between Australia and its largest trading partner, China, have deteriorated in recent years over various commercial and geopolitical disputes. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Dutch media report that the famed Dutch crime reporter shot last week in Amsterdam has died. The Associated Press says Dutch media are quoting a statement from Peter R. de Vries' family. RTL, the network de Vries regularly works for, on Thursday quoted the family as saying, "Peter fought to the end but was unable to win the battle," unquote. The 64-year-old de Vries was known for the fearless reporting on the Dutch underworld and was known for supporting families of missing children and campaigning against injustices. He was shot on July 6th after appearing on a TV show. Two suspects have been detained in the shooting. That's it for our show today. For more in-depth and breaking news 24 hours a day, please visit voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Nadia Taha, and our managing editor, Kate Pound-Dawson, I am Chinedu Ofor in Washington. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.